Now tonight in your Bible, in the book of Psalms, chapter 126, a very familiar chapter, and two of the verses of this chapter, verses 5 and 6, will serve as our text for tonight as we continue the harvest theme, sowing in tears, reaping in joy. That's my message tonight, based on Psalm 126, verse 5 and verse 6. We'll read these verses after we pause for a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee again and again for Thy blessings upon us. We rejoice to know that Thou art mindful of us, though we be unworthy and undeserving of the least of Thy favors. We thank Thee that Thy hand is upon our lives and upon this church, and upon all of the activities that go forth from this place. We're glad tonight that we can claim Thy promise, and Thou hast promised us that if we would be faithful in planting the seed, that Thou wouldst be faithful in bringing forth the harvest. May we tonight have our eyes open and our spiritual understanding open to the truth of Thy blessed word. Grant, O God, that we might in these moments, in our own heart, in the deep heart of hearts within us, reaffirm our faith in Thy blessed word in a time when men are doubting and scorning and scoffing and making fun and making light of the scriptures and looking lightly upon the prophetic word. Help us, we pray tonight, to give ourselves unreservedly to this task in the midst of a materialistic world where gold and silver count more than the book and the blood with many. May the blessed book and the wonderful blood count first with us, having a priority on our lives, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 126, verse 5 and verse 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What do you say? Let's all read those two verses together. Verse 5 and verse 6 of Psalm 126. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth when weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I read the story of a traveling Englishman who was very fond of the flowers that grew along the lanes and highways of his hometown, London, England. Every time he went to a foreign country and his business carried him into various foreign nations, he always filled his pockets with the seeds of these beautiful flowers that grew along the highway. And when he got to the country to which he was going, he always found an opportunity to sow some of the seed. And upon his return trip to that particular country, he always rejoiced to see the flowers growing and blooming along the way. Now that's what my message is all about tonight. That's exactly what I've read to you, and we have read together from Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. And from these verses, I want us to see tonight what it really means to sow in tears and reap in joy. There are five strong verbs of action that I see in these two verses that I believe would challenge us to be greater soul winners and to be sowers of the seed that we identified this morning as the eternal and timeless Word of God. The first word is the word going. Does not verse 5 say, or verse 6, the first part of it, he that goeth? Now, the word going characterizes the program of God in every area of God's activity with man. Our God is indeed a God of action. Think for a moment in the world of nature. The earth revolving on its axis and rotating about the sun speaks of action. And we can be glad that it does, because if it ever stopped, then we'd be burned to death very shortly by the rays of the sun. But you see, God in his wonderful wisdom that is unsearchable and beyond and past finding out, knew exactly how to set the earth on its proper course. If the earth were to speed up in its revolutions or slow down, we would either freeze to death or burn up. But I'm glad the word of God declares he upholdeth all things by the word of his power. We know that by the word of God, the worlds were framed in the beginning. A man said to me tonight, "You're going to cause me to fail one of my courses out at TCU because the professor is saying exactly opposite of what you say." And I gave him the same advice that I gave to my wife. When he calls for the answers, you just put it down. The book says so and so, and you believe so and so, but this is what I believe because this is what God's word says. And let me say to all of you young people in high schools and colleges, do not compromise with teachers who deny the word of God.
Amen.
Now, you don't have to be ugly about it, but you can, in a nice way, let your stand be known that you believe whatever the Bible says and stand on it. And when the questions come on test time, if you want to pass the course, and I'm sure you do, you put down what the professor calls for, but then you put down in red ink what you believe. If he doesn't like it in red ink, put it in whatever ink he says put it in. But if you can get by with it, put it down in red pencil or red ink. This I believe, and give scripture for it and tell him why you believe it. You might get them saved, you never can tell.
Amen.
He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get some of the college professors saved? Brother Gilliland called to my attention tonight, and this is a book that every fundamental, independent believer ought to read. The J. Frank Norris that I have known for 34 years, written by Dr. Ensminger. 35 years ago, Dr. Norris said in Detroit, Michigan, the very things that are happening today, that our schools and colleges would be filled and our pulpits would be filled with communist sympathizers and people who denied the word of God. And it has come to pass exactly like he said it would. We have a great debt there, beloved, that we shall never be able to pay. I'm going to say to you tonight that I believe the hour is coming when in these good United States of America, where we enjoy freedoms tonight, if I don't miss my guess, I believe the hour will come when we will not be able to broadcast the gospel on the radio or broadcast the gospel on television or put a religious ad in the newspapers. You may not live, some of you, to see that, but some of you will. It's a very critical hour in which we live. That's why we need to stay with the book. And God's book and God's program is a program of action. Too many Christians are inactive. God said, "He that goeth." In all of God's work, there is motion, there is action. Think about it, in nature, in the ministry of the church, in the gospel program, while the first two letters of the word gospel are G-O, it starts with go, it continues with go, it ends with go. He that goeth. Now every man that God ever called, when he extended the call to every man, it is characterized by going. God told Noah, "Go and build an ark." God said to Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country and go to the land that I'll show you." God said to Moses, "Go down to Egypt and say to Pharaoh, let my people," you guessed it, "go." God is in the going business. God said to Joshua, "Arise, Joshua, and go over this Jordan." And to Gideon, God said, "Go and save Israel out of the hand of the Midianites." prophets, and we could go on calling the roll of the patriarchs and the prophets and the priests of old, where God set each one of them in the going business. You know, God tells us to go, and he doesn't leave us without direction. You saw it in the Sunday school lesson this morning. God told Elijah to go one block and turn east, or just about in those terms, didn't he? Some of you hadn't read your Sunday school lesson. You know what I'm talking about. But God told him exactly where to go to. God told him the direction, and God gives us the same thing. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and teach and preach the gospel to all nations, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the earth, to the end of the age, the end of the world. Teaching them and baptizing them, and what Jesus simply meant was making disciples of all men. So God tells us first the places to which we are to go. Somebody said, well, where should I go visiting? Anywhere. Where should the missionaries go? Everywhere. God tells us the places to which we're to go. God tells the purpose for which we are to go. To teach, to preach, to baptize, to make disciples of all men. God tells us the purpose for which we ought to go. And then God tells us the people to whom we ought to go. To every creature. Reminds me of the story that I've related to you before. How that the personal worker was going down the hospital wards and going from room to room. And he approached one woman who was in the long ward with several other beds in it. And he said, Madam, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a Baptist preacher, and I have a good message for you. Oh, she said, perhaps you've got the wrong person. He said, well, ma'am, how's that? She said, well, you see, I'm a Catholic, and maybe you must have the wrong person. He said, no, ma'am, I don't have the wrong person, and I can prove it to you. And he opened his New Testament to Mark chapter 16. And said, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You can't find the wrong person to witness to. And if you believe that some are destined or predestined for life and some for death, if you get the wrong person saved, God will forgive you for it. Amen. God tells us the people to whom to go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's everybody. He tells us not only the place and purpose and people, but he tells us the promise with which we are to go. I am with you. What a promise. Where would we hesitate to go as long as Jesus is with us? Why would we ever hesitate to go anywhere, to any person, if Christ is with us? We need to overcome some of our timidity, our backwardness, our bashfulness. Now, it's good to be reserved in certain things, and I believe in moderation and reservation and all those things. But I believe that too many Christians are far too reserved when it comes to talking about Jesus. We talk about everything else now, don't we? The weather, politics, government, football, baseball, World Series, everything else. Why can't we talk about the blessed book and the wonderful Savior that this book is written about? He tells us the promise with which we're to go. I am with you always. And then he tells us the power under which we are to go. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Don't try to go in your own strength. If the astronauts tried to go about the earth in their own strength, they'd be still fizzling on the pad down there in Cape Kennedy. They'd never get off the ground. But they had the thrust of many, many horsepower or whatever kind of power it is that shot them around the globe. And they're circling around there tonight, not under their own power. That ought to say to us that we cannot go under our own power or in our own strength. We are but to fail. We're weak. We're frail. We can't make it. But if we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, we have nothing to worry about. If God be for us, who can be against us? The word is going, God tells us to go. He that goeth forth, that's step number one into prescription for a productive harvest, going. The second word is the word weeping. That's something we don't hear much about anymore. Weeping for souls. When is the last time you shed a tear for an unsaved person? We cry about almost anything else, don't we? Why can't we weep for souls? If the Bible is a book of going, it is also a book of weeping. We read in the Word that Jacob wept, Joseph wept, Jonathan wept, David wept, Saul wept, Hezekiah, the king of Judah, wept, Jeremiah, the prophet of old, wept, Jesus wept, Peter wept, Paul wept. All of the great men of God have been men of tears. And you know, somehow or another, the tears bespeak the condition of the heart. Not too many tears flow from a hard heart, from an unconcerned heart, but from a heart that is broken, tears will flow. We just spent a fraction of the time in prayer weeping for lost people as we spend on so many non-essential things in life. What a difference it would make. Talk about a harvest, we wouldn't have a place to put them. If we just spent a fraction of the time in weeping with a broken heart for those who are lost, the Christian's heart at once ought to be broken. We ought to be weeping first over our own sinfulness. We ought to be weeping second over the sinfulness of the world. We ought to be weeping third over the lost men and women and boys and girls who are dying without Jesus Christ. Our own sinfulness, the sinfulness of the world at large, and men who are dying without the Savior. These things ought to bring tears to the heart and to the eyes of every believer. And somehow I feel that the tears are the raindrops of the soul that water the fields that must be cultivated for harvest. We saw it last week, without rain, there's no harvest. Without the rain of the teardrops of our soul, there can be very little harvest in our church. He that goeth forth and weeping. Weeping. Weeping over the lost. Praying in tears for those who are outside the ark of safety. God help us to have some tears tonight. Or somebody says, well, I always thought that tears were a sign of cowardice. Then you've thought the wrong thing. Jeremiah was not a coward. Jesus was not a coward. Peter was not a coward. It would have taken more than a coward to have stepped up like Peter did that night when they arrested the Lord and tried to cut a man's head off. He wasn't a coward, but he knew how to cry. He knew how to weep. You and I must learn that. To get our hearts in the right condition, the raindrop of tears will fall. He that goeth forth and weepeth. That's a strong verb of action. And this is not even English class. The third word is the word planting. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. There's no need to go. There's no need to weep if you don't take the seed with you. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. We saw this morning that the seed is the Word of God. And you know, the most productive seed in the greenhouse will never bring forth a harvest until it's planted. Again, we saw that this morning. So the precious Word of God cannot bring forth a harvest until it's planted. And there's so many ways that we can plant the Word of God. Handing out a little tract, that plants the Word of God. You don't have to say anything. handing out a little salvation Bible with scriptures in it, a church tract that has scripture on it. There's so many ways we can plant the seed of the Word of God. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. You know, there's something about witnessing that nobody can be left out of. Because a person can witness to anybody, anywhere, at any time. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. There is nothing more precious than the Word of God. There is nothing that will do more to you than allowing God to speak to your heart. We're so busy speaking to God sometimes that we don't let God speak to us. This is His Word. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you the message so that you can give the message to somebody else. Too many Christians are altogether too selfish. We've got a good thing. We hoard it and hold on to it ourselves without giving out the precious seed. But planting is necessary. He that goeth weeping, bearing precious seed. So the word is bearing or planting the precious seed of God's word. The fourth word is rejoicing. Doesn't the Bible say, did we not read, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall without doubt come again with rejoicing. Verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We shall come again rejoicing. You know, it is written in the 15th chapter of the book of Luke that there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You ought to read the 15th chapter of Luke. It talks about lost things. It talks about a lost sheep. And the shepherd leaves the 99 who are tucked away in the fold and goes out in the bleak mountains, the wilderness, to find the one sheep that's lost. We ought to leave the 99 of the church and go out into the highways and byways and find the lost. And what happened when the shepherd came back? The shepherd there is just like Jesus. He took the little sheep, the little lamb up in his arms, and brought him back to the fold. And he came back rejoicing. There's a lost coin in that chapter. And the woman who lost the coin turns the house upside down. You know, that's sometimes the only time that houses get clean is when they've lost something and can't find it. This woman turned the house upside down to find the lost coin. It was out of circulation. Now let me say that every person that's away from Jesus is number one, lost. Number two, out of circulation. But when she found it, she called in all the neighbors and said, I found the coin that was lost. Rejoice. Then there's the story, the heart-rending story about a lost son. Mothers and daddies who have lost sons here tonight, our hearts bleed with you. I could think of nothing that would be more pathetic than for a mother and daddy to have a lost son. Young people, stay in the right path. Stay bridled up to Christian principles. Don't kick out of the traces, for God's sake. Stay in the pathway of prayer. Don't break your mother and daddy's heart. Don't ruin your own life. Don't disappoint God. Don't get lost in the things of the world today. Oh, I know they sound good and they look alluring. But there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. Don't go with the wrong crowd. I don't believe any young girl ought to go with any boy that she'd be ashamed to bring into the church. I don't believe that any young man ought to go with any girl that he'd be ashamed to bring into this church tonight. I don't believe that any young man ought to go and get serious with an unsaved young lady. I don't believe any young lady ought to get serious with an unsaved young man. Or somebody says, well, I can change them after we get married. I wish I could tell you about all the failures I know about that never did change them after they got married. You better get them changed before by the grace of God. Go with young people who are clean, who are physically, bodily clean, as well as spiritually clean. It makes a difference. Young people don't get lost in the things of the world. Here's the story in Luke 15 about a lost son. But I'm glad he came to himself. And mothers and daddies, don't despair. Don't give up. Somewhere down the line, through your prayers and the prayers of the good people that love the Lord, they'll come to themselves. It may be a long and costly road, but they'll come to themselves, just like the prodigal did. The Bible says when he came to himself, he came back to his daddy. When the unsaved man comes to himself, he comes to Jesus. Every unsaved man is beside himself tonight. He is morally and spiritually insane. But keep on praying. And just like the prodigal, when he came to himself, he said, I will arise and go home to my father. And I will say to him, Daddy, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned in thy sight. You know, I believe the prodigal was happy to get home that day. But somehow I believe the daddy and mother were more happy than he was. Because the daddy, when he saw him coming down the path, ran out and threw his arms about him and smothered him with kisses and said to his servant, kill the fatted calf. Bring a robe and put it on him and put shoes on his feet. And put a ring on his finger. For this my son who was lost is now found. He who was dead is now alive. There was great rejoicing in that household. And I say again, in the words of Jesus, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And the last word is reaping, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, when the farmer goes out in the early spring and sows today, he doesn't expect to reap the harvest tomorrow. He knows there's got to be sunshine and rain and the elements and cultivation to bring the crop into fruition. He knows that. But somehow I believe all spring long, the farmer's heart beats with joy when he knows he's plowed deep and he's planted the seed. And God sends the rain and God sends the sunshine and he goes back and cultivates it. He has a wonderful feeling in his heart that out there in the time of harvest, he's going to bring in the sheaves. You never can tell what one word is going to do. One tract, one salvation Bible, just one verse of Scripture. One sermon, one song. The prince of preachers, Dr. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who preached a century ago and more, for 30 years to over 5,000 people twice on every Sunday, no public address systems. Nothing but just a huge Spurgeon tabernacle in London, England, where over 5,000 people would go to hear him preach twice every Sunday. Why, the cabbies would just know when somebody got into the cab on Sunday, they'd say, take me over the hill to Charlie's. And they knew exactly where to go, to Charles Haddon Spurgeon, to hear him preach the Word of God. He was called out one night to one of his members or to someone who was a member of the family. And the woman was reportedly unsaved. And so he went out like a good pastor will do to try to lead that woman to Jesus. And when he got to her home, he found her rejoicing He could hardly believe it. And he said to her, "But what is all the rejoicing about?" "Oh," she said, "I just trusted Jesus a little while ago as my Savior." "Oh, is that right? How did you hear about him?" She said, "I read it in that." And she pointed to a newspaper. And Charles Spurgeon picked up the newspaper, and lo and behold, it was an American newspaper. And in the American newspaper was an excerpt from one of his sermons. And he said to the dear woman, "Where on earth did you get this?" She said, "Well, a few weeks ago, hubby ordered something from Australia, and it came wrapped up in an American newspaper." And Charles Haddon Spurgeon shouted for joy when he learned that a sermon that was preached in London went to America and to Australia and back to London, and a soul was won to Jesus. I still believe it's true, beloved. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The secret of the whole thing is this. Jesus said, "I'm the vine, and ye are the branches. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall bring forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." Without him, we can't do anything. With him, we can do everything. Paul put it this way: "I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me." Could it be that there's someone here tonight who has never had the reaping of the harvest in their own heart? You've never had the seed of the Word of God planted in your heart. You're lost. You're unsaved. You say, "But preacher, you don't know about my past." No, I sure don't. And that doesn't matter one iota. It's the present I'm talking about. Jesus said, "Come, for all things are now ready." Now is the day of salvation. You can come just like you are to trust him. If you're lost and here tonight, I want you to come and trust him. You say, "But I don't know how." Let me help you. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Only believe, and the work is done. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We thank thee that thou hast given to us the charge to plant the word, not only in the pulpit, but out there in the street, out there in the marketplace, out in the classroom, out where the busy traffic is going, where men are dying, where men are swearing and cursing and drinking and gambling and going to hell without Christ. Help us to take the word out there. May we go forth with weeping, bearing the precious seed of thy timeless word, knowing that we shall come back rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. If there be one tonight, dear God, who is unsaved, may they come to trust Christ right now. If there be those who need a church home and have not yet decided, may they be decided in this moment to make this church their church home. For those who would need to come tonight for a public affirmation of their faith, for baptism, may they come to be baptized. If they need to come by transfer of letter, may they come by transfer of letter. If they come on statement, may they come on statement tonight. If church members need to come for a word of prayer, may they make their way out to this altar, even in these moments, to pray. As we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake, with thanksgiving. Amen.